Hi there, how are you? It is the third hour of this program, and the program happens to be my show, the Eric Erickson Show. The phone number, if you want to be a part of it, is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. I am yet again going to just go off the rails on what I was going to talk about, because I've been reading this piece, making my way through a piece by David Brooks in The Atlantic. David Brooks, he's an intriguing guy. He really is. And he's written a lot over the years academically about relations of people. He wrote a book, Bobos in Paradise. The Bobos, just so you understand the Bobos, is an actual term of art that he deployed. Let me get you to the paragraph here. In 1983, a literary historian, this is in The Atlantic, I should note. In 1983, a literary historian named Paul Fussell wrote a book called Class, A Guide Through the American Status System. Most of the book is a caustic and extravagantly snobby tour through the class markers prevalent at the time. After ridiculing every other class, Fussell describes what he calls X people. These were people just like him, highly educated, curious, ironic, wittily countercultural. X people tend to underdress for social occasions, Fussell wrote. They know the best wine stores and delis. They have risen above the muck of mainstream culture to a higher, hipper sensibility. The chapter about X people was insufferably self-regarding, but Fussell was onto something. Every once in a while, in times of transformation, a revolutionary class comes along and disrupts old structures, introducing new values, opens up economic and cultural chasms. In the 19th century, it was the bourgeoisie, the capitalist merchant class. In the latter part of the 20th century, as the information economy revved up and the industrial middle class hollowed out, it was X people. 17 years later, I wrote a book about the same class, Bobos in Paradise. The Bobos didn't necessarily come from money, and they were proud of that. They'd secured their places in selective universities and in the job market, though drive and intelligence exhibited from an early age. They believed XPX types defined themselves as rebels against the state elite. They were, as the classic Apple commercial had it, the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, and the troublemakers. Now, where do they all come from? Well, they come from a list of people called, in France, the anthropologist Nicolas Shimla called the Boobers, the boorish bourgeois. If the elite bourgeois bohemians, the Bobos, tend to have progressive values and metropolitan tastes, the Boobers go out of their way to shock them with nativist, nationalist, and willful lack of tact. In other words, the Bobos are the bourgeois bohemians who have white people overwhelmingly who've moved into urban areas, the creative class of people. Now, I want to fast forward down to the bottom of this because there's a point here to be made. This is David Brooks writing again. He wrote Bobos in Paradise during the Clinton administration. The end of history had allegedly arrived. The American model had been vindicated by the resolution of the Cold War. Somehow we imagined our class, and Brooks defines himself as a Bobo, our class would be different from the other elites in world history. In fact, we have many of the same vices as those who came before us. I got a lot wrong about the Bobos. I didn't anticipate how aggressively we would move to assert our cultural dominance. The way we would seek to impose elite values through speech and thought codes. I underestimated the way the creative class would successfully raise barriers around itself to protect its economic privilege, not just through schooling, but through zoning regulations that keep home values high, professional certification structures that keep doctors and lawyers' income high while blocking competition from nurses and paralegals and more. And I underestimated our intolerance of ideological diversity. Over the past five decades, the number of working class and conservative voices in universities, the mainstream media, and other institutions of elite culture have shrunk to a sprinkling. when you tell a large chunk of the country that their voices are not worth hearing, you're going to get a reaction, and they have reacted. If our old class structure was like a layer cake, rich, middle, and poor, the creative class is like a bowling ball that was dropped from a great height onto the cake. Chunks splattered everywhere. In the great class shift, the bowl Muzerge argues that the creative class has disrupted politics across the Western world. In nation after nation, the rise of the educated metro elite has led the working class to rebel against them. Trump voters listed the media, the epitome of creative class production, as the biggest threat to America. The more than 150-year-old alliance between the industrial working class and what one might call the intellectual cultural left is over, observes the Swedish political science Bo Rothstein. The working class today vehemently rejects not just the creative class, but the epistemic regime that it controls. In revolt, populist Trump voters sometimes create their own reality, inventing conspiracy theories and alternative facts about pedophile rings among the elite who they believe disdain them. The dominance of the Bobos has also engendered a rebellion among its all offspring. The members of the creative class have labored to get their children into good colleges, but they've also jacked up college costs and urban housing prices so high their children struggle under crushing financial burdens. This revolt has boosted Bernie Sanders in the U.S., Jeremy Corbyn in Britain, Jean-Luc Mélenchon in France, and so on. Part of the youth revolt is driven by economics. Part is driven by moral contempt. Younger people look at the generation above them and see people who talk about equality but drive inequality. A third rebellion is led by people who are doing well financially but feel culturally humiliated. The Boomer Rebellion. They're the Mark and Patricia McCloskey, the rich St. Louis couple who waved their guns at passing black protesters. They're the people who elected as mayor of Toronto the crude, brash-talking Rob Ford, who attempted to put a very non-Bobo shopping mall, a suburban Disneyland, right in the center of the city. These are people who rebel against codes of political correctness. As these rebellions arose, pundits from the creative class settled upon certain narratives to explain why there was suddenly so much conflict. Our first was the open-close narrative. Society is divided among those who like open trade, open immigration, open wars on the one hand, and those who want it all closed down. The second was the diversity narrative. Western nations are transitioning from being white-dominant to being diverse, multiracial societies. Some people welcome it, a lot of people don't. Now, I'll stop there. That's David Brooks writing in The Atlantic about the Bobos and the clash. And essentially what he's saying is that the creative class seemed to be a good thing. They were breaking down cultural barriers. They were breaking down the class barriers. And then they started building up their own barriers. And you see this all over the place. You see this as white people decide that, you know, I'm going to show I'm open and diverse and I'm tolerant. So I'm going to move into the urban inner city. And guess what happens to the urban inner city? The prices go up and the poor black people who've lived there get gentrified out of their own neighborhood. They can't afford the houses. And the white people are like, well, you know, if you paid the bills and kept up with things, you could stay, get a real job. And those people had real jobs, but now they can't afford to live in their own neighborhood. Or you see it with academic institutions. The number of people who go to Harvard, then send their kids to Harvard. The family legacies. They protect themselves in that regard. Or you see it with the professional class and how, you know, there are lots of nurse practitioners out there who could do a lot, but they're not allowed to because doctors' lobbies have prevented them. Look at the optician issue on trying to get contact lenses where you got to go to someone, you got to get the prescription from a licensed, ophthalmologist. You can't just go to an optician who could easily run you through the machines they have now. No. You got to get certification in a lot of places. People protecting their income and privilege, and they have access to the politicians to do it. And the reaction has been swift. That's what got you to Donald Trump. The creative class is looking with contempt on talk radio, on Fox News, on conservative humor. I got a friend, and he is a friend, and he follows me on social media, And he finds nothing the Babylon Bee puts out to be funny. None of it. He does not understand conservative humor at all. And he drips with disdain for it. And he's a good dude. He's very progressive. But he doesn't understand our humor. I find the Babylon Bee hysterical. He thinks it's all just insult comedy and he doesn't get it. He doesn't approve. It's poor man humor, I guess you could say. And he's a worldly cosmopolitan, grows his own garden in his urban neighborhood. Nice, super nice guy, but very progressive. And you see time and time again progressives who they want to portray themselves as hip and worldly. I mean, for example, I living in Middle Georgia, there is a certain class of people here that are hyper liberal. And they love to shop at the, you know the people, and this is who David Brooks is described in this piece. You know the people. You work with these people. I bet you work with these people. They get their clothes from the vintage store because they like to recycle even their clothes now because they're cool. They have chickens in their backyard because they want to be Farmer Brown, and they don't trust the global supply chain, and they don't like the way the chickens are taken care of. So they want to grow their own, raise their own chickens so they can get the eggs. And they pedal their bikes around the city. And they don't like your gas-guzzling SUV, and so they want more bike lanes in the city. And they want the government to force you to recycle because you're not recycling enough. And they don't like the fact that you and your kids have traditional values because, you know, they're open and tolerant. And if you're going to church and you believe in the God of all creation and what the Bible says, well, why are you believing 2,000-year-old sky fairy stuff when you should be embracing the rainbow flag of diversity? And so let's get kids out of these private schools or force the private schools to embrace the secular left-wing values of these people. You know these people. You work with them. They're highly educated. They consider themselves creative. They open and diverse and tolerant. They've moved into the cities. They've raised the property values. But they don't want your black kids coming to school with them, so we better not have school choice. And they don't want their white neighborhoods to see kids bust across the city to come in. They want their kids to have access to the AP classes. They want their kids to have access to the gifted program. They don't want your kids to come. But they're tolerant. Just ask them. They're the most tolerant people they know. They've moved into an urban black neighborhood and driven all the black people out. But it was the black people's choice not to get better jobs. After all, it's not their fault that they raised property values there. Hey, they want legal weed too. See, they're down with the community. And the result has been a backlash against them. And they don't get it, and they're resentful. And what they're doing now is they're turning into Boko Haram because you disagreed with them on the way they saw diversity and tolerance and values. They want to impose it on you. They want to impose it on your daughters by having boys compete on the girls' track team. They want you to believe that the boys are girls now. They want culturally, you better agree or else they're going to turn off your social media accounts and you're going to be shunned. And they're going to harass you through your employer if you put up something on your own private social media account that they don't like. You're going to lose your job because of them. They intend to impose their values on you, and it's for your own good, you know. You know these people. Is it any wonder there's been a backlash to them? The number of people I know who feel like they need a Trump to protect them from that creative class of people, from the white progressives. It's not that they really want a Trump per se. It's that they need him to protect them from them. There is a backlash. And it is shaping up, and you know the ironic part of it? It is shaping up to make it so that the white progressive elite of the Democratic Party, who believe in diversity and tolerance, are chasing all the black and Hispanic voters into the GOP, where you're going to have the really diverse group of voters who can't stand the rich, secular, creative class. And honestly, about the only creative class members who survive are the ones who are people of faith, because they can speak in the same idiomatic expressions and relate to the people who may not agree with them on their level, but they relate to them on a faith values proposition, which means even their own progressive secular elite are out to get them for believing in Sky Fairy, which they actually know is true, but which the secularist urban white elite don't. That's going to be ultimately the biggest divide. Can I just say my wife is finally happy with me as a radio show host and podcaster? She loves Boll & Branch. Now, I had Boll & Branch towels already at my house, but they sent me a set of their king-size sheets to try, and my wife's been dying to get sheets from Boll & Branch, and we got them now, and they hold up. They are great. Boll & Branch was started by a husband and wife team that wanted to create a textile company that cared about the details that would make their products last. You'll feel the difference. You really will feel the difference with them. My goodness. We had sheets on our bed, and they were cotton sheets, but we just sweated. The Boll & Branch sheets during the summer are fantastic. Now, they've got uncompromising standards. We've got a very thick mattress, and their deep-pocketed sheets hold up. They're not snapping the elastic fitted sheet. They're not snapping off the mattress. They work. I cannot express to you enough how excited I was to get these. My wife adores them. In fact, we had to go get a second set of Boll & Branch sheets so that we could keep them on the bed at all times. They're cloud weight. They're super soft. They've got a satin weave. They get softer with every wash. They really do, by the way. That's not marketing. That's actually real. They get softer with every wash. They're crafted to the highest standard of attention. And again, you know, if you've got a deep pocketed mattress like we do, we've got a 15-inch mattress. Those fitted sheets will snap off. Not these. They perform fantastic. To experience the new standard of comfort, you got to visit BollAndBranch.com. You get 15% off your first set of sheets with promo code Eric, E-R-I-C-K. That's Boll, B-O-L-L, and Branch.com. The promo code is Eric, E-R-I-C-K. You will love Boll & Branch. We really do. My wife, finally, she's so excited. An advertiser sent us something that she actually wanted. She wanted it so much, and now we've gone back for a second time and bought a pair of sheets. I've got towels I bought from them. Everything from Boll & Branch is fantastic. You'll love them. You are welcome to call in. The phone number here is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. I keep reading in commercial break this David Brooks piece. Let me read you one more paragraph that I think is very intriguing. Wokeness is not just a social philosophy, but an elite status marker, a strategy for personal advancement. You have to possess copious amounts of cultural capital to feel comfortable using words like intersectionality, heteronormativity, cisgender, problematize, triggering, and Latinx. By navigating a fluid, progressive cultural frontier more skillfully than their hapless boomer bosses, and by calling out the privilege and moral failings of those above them, young educated elites seek power within elite institutions. Wokeness becomes a way to intimidate boomer administrators and wrest power from them. And the embrace, now this is me adding to it, the embrace of wokeness by corporate CEOs is a way of insulating themselves from the controversy. It's not about them doing what they believe. It's about virtue signaling to protect themselves from the mob below them. You know, so this is kind of funny. In Silicon Valley, they're having issues right now. Apple being first among them. So Apple built this billion-dollar campus. The place is amazing. I've been out there. You can't get on the campus, but there's an Apple store there where you can get some exclusive stuff, and I'm in the Apple cult. And I went out there. I had to be in Cupertino a while back and had to have a meeting near Stanford. And I decided that it was a dinner meeting, and I had all day, so I would just drive down to Cupertino and see Apple's campus, drive seven times around it, pray to Steve Jobs, do all the stuff that we do in the Apple cult. It is gorgeous. The Apple headquarters now is a perfect circle. You can see it on satellite. It's an amazing place. It really is. It's in the middle of a city, and you would think it's in the middle of nowhere. The landscape, everything is perfect, meticulous, designed by Steve Jobs before he died. And now Tim Cook, the CEO, can't get the young wokes to come back to work. They want to work remotely, and it's not just them. Google, Facebook, and the like, they're all having problems. And Tim Cook, chief among them, is having the biggest problem because Apple's culture requires in-person collaboration. Apple is very famous for being a company where people have conversations, and those conversations lead to new ideas, and those new ideas lead to new devices. And you can't do that over Zoom. You can't do that collaboratively and unintentionally. Now, the data shows that that sort of stuff in most companies happens far less than you think. A lot of people believe, oh, so-and-so bumped into so-and-so in the hall. They started a conversation. And next thing you know, we hit the microwave or whatever. Now, that does happen at Apple. That sort of stuff does happen at Apple. They need people in person. And the young wokes are screaming about COVID and they don't want to come back. It's triggering. It's problematizing. It's all sorts of problems. And they're using all the woke buzzwords. And Apple's having none of it, telling them to come back or find a new job. And so a lot of the young people who think they're privileged and can navigate woke intersectionality, and Tim Cook is a woke boss that he'd have their back, now they're thinking of finding new jobs. Good riddance. Get rid of the woke hipsters from Apple. I'm totally fine with that. When we come back, the Biden administration goes to war with the Biden administration.
The unknown came to the workplace in 2020 and things have changed. Everybody's looking to work out of their house, so they want a great chair. I found a great chair, the X chair. It's at the forefront of home and office settings during this transition. And X chair's newest innovation, the Elemax temperature regulation, will take your sitting comfort to a whole new level. There's a patent pending for the Elemax. It allows you to experience cooling, heating, massage in your lower back while you're working. You're feeling stressed out from the Zoom calls, the Microsoft Teams meetings? Turn on Elemax massage therapy. X chair's patented dynamic variable lumbar DVL support was already the best in class, and now you get Elemax. Imagine regulating your body temperature and getting massage therapy while you're working. It really is a fantastically comfortable, well-designed, well-put-together chair. Go to xchairerik.com right now. That's xchairerik.com or call 1-844-4XCHAIR to save $100 off your order. X-Chair has a 30-day guarantee of complete comfort, and you can finance your purchase for as little as $30 a month. Go to xchairerik.com now or use code XWheels for free X-Wheel blade casters. xchairerik.com.
I told y'all I said this was going to happen, and now listen, y'all need to know something. You need to know about this. Philip, I hope you're paying attention to this one. I need y'all to know, I am not great when it comes to sports. I'm kind of ignorant when it comes to sports. I grew up in Dubai. We had camel racing and soccer. But I do love college football. Phillip's got me into hockey, so I watch hockey. But I pay attention to stuff. And I've seen things. And you're bringing in to the SEC Oklahoma and Texas. Why not bring in more? And then you're not competing with the conferences. You're becoming an alternative to the NCAA itself. Sure enough, per a reliable source, according to Mark Ryan is a program director for ESPN. Clemson and Florida State have reached out to the SEC about joining the conference. Now, the SEC is concerned that streaming numbers for Clemson, Florida State don't bring in what Oklahoma, Texas do. Notre Dame is the only free agent left that would add to the pot. Here's what, listen, I think the NCAA is a morally bankrupt, horrible institution. And if the SEC can provide, and by the way, I think it's the SEC commissioner or some members of the conference have said that the goal here should be to compete with the NCAA. I think competing with the NCAA is a good thing. I think the NCAA's days as a monopoly, it's time for them to go. And you bring in Clemson and Florida State to the SEC along with Oklahoma and Texas. You have a conference that becomes significant enough that you could essentially have something that competes to the NCAA with the NCAA. And provides a platform for teams to exert greater control. I despise the NCAA. And I'm actually really glad. I'm not sure that I'm a fan of the idea of the athletes cashing in. But considering the NCAA has been making a ton of money off of them over the years and getting their labor for free, yeah, let them. I think the Supreme Court ultimately got the decision there right, and anything that can be done to break up the NCAA is a good thing in my mind. And if the SEC adds Oklahoma, Texas, Clemson and Florida State and becomes an alternative to the NCAA and just basically says, we're going to do our own thing now. Thanks, NCAA, but we're going to go do something else. Good for the SEC. But I don't know whether they will add Clemson and Florida State. They might as well. I mean, you ought to. And then the SEC championship really is the national championship because it'll be Clemson and Alabama every time fighting each other, and they really are two of the best. Well, I got to throw an LSU there because I am a native of Louisiana, but you get my point. It'd be worthwhile. Okay, the phone number here, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Tensions are rising within the Biden team over the mask reversal. The Biden administration is going to war against itself. A sea of maskless, sweaty, thrashing bodies filled Chicago's Grant Park, pushing up against the performance stage as acts like Miley Cyrus screamed into the microphone. This, according to Politico. Roughly 100,000 people a night poured into the four-day-long Lollapalooza, one of the biggest music festivals in the world. But as it happened this year, the festivals came at the same time the White House was recalibrating its message on COVID-19, warning that vaccinated people who experienced rare so-called breakthrough infections of the Delta variant could transmit the virus as readily as the unimmunized. The warning was issued with a fair bit of alarm, including a sober address from President Joe Biden himself. But by that point, eager concert goers were already flooding into the event. Lollapalooza had been green-lighted weeks earlier, which city officials say was based on guidance from the CDC and messaging from the White House. As a precaution, event organizers required those attending to show proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test from within the last 72 hours. The festival was held outside, which mitigates transmission. But with hospitalizations of 35%, Cook County was added just this Thursday to the CDC's areas experiencing substantial COVID spread. And with the administration having revised its mask guidance and with new revelations about the Delta variant, medical experts and some local politicians were already steeling themselves for the worst. Biden administration officials are increasingly worried about the ability of fully vaccinated people to get to spread the virus, but also they're worried about the mixed messaging that could disincentivize getting people vaccinated. It's true. It's not really a compelling message for you to go get vaccinated to say, hey, you got to go wear a mask now. Stay inside. You could still get it. It's not really a compelling message. So, I mean, the ultimate question here is why bother getting vaccinated if you're already spread? Well, consider the actual data. You know, if you consider the actual data out there, it's actually really good data. The reality is that 0.001% of people who are vaccinated will possibly die of COVID. 0.001%, and less than 0.1% of people who are vaccinated will get COVID at all. It's really compelling data for getting vaccinated. If you get it, you're going to be fine. And the Delta variant is spreading more and more to younger people, more and more unchecked. And we're seeing that those who get vaccinated are protected. But the Biden administration hasn't figured out how to message that fact. Because again, if you're vaccinated, you could possibly get the Delta variant. But here's the thing that they're not focusing on. Here's the thing they're not telling people. You're still very unlikely to get COVID, the Delta variant, or anything else if you're vaccinated. Now, here's the thing. The Biden administration said when they came in, Joe Biden put out a tweet that he's here to beat the virus, not to bow to the virus. He's here, no more lockdowns. He wants to get people out of masks. He's going to beat the virus. That's what he said the day before he became president of the United States. He put that on Twitter. On January 19th, 2021, he put it on Twitter. And now what's happening? What's happening? You know, you got demands for vaccine passports from the left. Now you've got, we're back to mask mandates. we're back to people thinking, I guess we're going to have to remote learning. I tell you, if you go through remote learning, you are going to see a massive rebellion. You will see a massive rebellion across the nation from parents if you shut down schools. And some states are thinking of doing it. Some cities are thinking they may do it. You've got the teachers' unions have come back and said, well, we may need to stay on remote learning. It's not going to help. On top of that, you've got the evictions. This is the big topic of the day that Democrats are complaining about, and I need to put this in perspective for you. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention issued an eviction moratorium, and they extended it. And essentially, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said that a landlord is not allowed to evict someone leasing from them or renting from them during the pandemic under this mandate. So a hell of a lot of people have been renting houses, and they haven't had to pay rent, and they can't get thrown out. Now, a lot of them have continued to pay rent, but if they stopped paying rent, they couldn't be evicted. And this went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court at the end of the Supreme Court term said that Brett Kavanaugh, actually, it was a 5-4 decision, and Brett Kavanaugh said, you know, I'm actually with the minority on this. I don't think the CDC has the power to do this, but it's going to be gone in a few weeks, and it would be reckless for us to go on and upend it today while they need to wind it down in the next couple of weeks. So Kavanaugh made very clear if it came back, he would vote against it. So the CDC and the Biden administration know they cannot impose a new eviction moratorium. They've got to have Congress do it. Nancy Pelosi cannot get the Democrats to agree. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the squad are camping out on the steps of the Capitol, littering all over the place, demanding that they redo the eviction moratorium.
Well, you know, I think there's a couple of issues here. First of all, you are absolutely correct in that the House and House leadership had the opportunity to vote to extend the moratorium. And there were many, and there was frankly a handful of conservative Democrats in the House that threatened to get on planes rather than hold this vote. And we have to really just call a spade a spade. We cannot, in good faith, blame the Republican Party when House Democrats have a majority. Now, there is something to be said for the fact that this court order came down on the White House a month ago, and the White House waited until the day before the House adjourned to release a statement asking on Congress to extend the moratorium. This came after weeks. I sit on the Financial Services Committee, which has jurisdiction over housing. We had, you know, the housing secretary there asking about the administration's stance. We asked the Biden administration about their stance, and they were not being really forthright about that advocacy and that request until the day before the House adjourned. And so the House was put into a needlessly difficult situation. And it's not just me saying that. Financial Services Chairwoman Maxine Waters has made that very clear as well. And so there's a couple of contributing factors here. We have governors who are also not getting this emergency rental assistance out in time, which is forcing this extension, what we would like an extension of the moratorium. The fact of the matter is that the problem is here. The House should reconvene and call this vote and extend the moratorium. There's about 11 million people that are behind on their rent at risk of eviction. That's one out of every six renters in the United States.
You know what? If you pay your rent and you're a good renter, you probably don't have a problem. But of course, the left has gravitated to this issue. Here's Elizabeth Warren in the Senate.
The Delta variant is more contagious, threatening to spread faster among the half of the country that remains unvaccinated. Needlessly evicting families would risk escalating our public health crisis. The CDC understood that reality when it issued an eviction moratorium in September. The agency was clear, and I want to quote the language they used. Housing stability helps protect health. That's right.
Housing stability helps protect health. And they're right. So you shouldn't be allowed to be evicted. Y'all, we went from people need help. They need help. We're in a global pandemic. Let's give people time. They've lost their jobs to get back on their feet to pay their rent to. Now, you have a right to squat in property. You never have to leave. The government should allow you to stay there. Did you read the story? It's a New York Times story. And the New York Times story essentially says that People are renting from landlords, and they're tearing up the property. They're abusing the landlords. They're insulting the landlords. In one case, a woman was renting a room from someone. The person was spreading through the house, and the woman's like, no, you're only renting this room. And they didn't care because they couldn't be evicted. She tried to get a restraining order on the person, and she couldn't because the judge said, there's a moratorium on evictions. I can't do anything. There are all sorts of abusive problems. And by the way, landlords, it's for some reason, people think the landlords are rich. I know a lot of middle-class people who've bought houses, fixed them up themselves because they're handy, unlike me, and they make some supplemental money by renting out properties. And suddenly they're the bad guys. Suddenly they're the bad guys. I would dispute that, and I would tell you that you got to stand up for people. You've got to stand up and defend the landlords here. They're not the bad guys. They are fundamentally not the bad guys. And yet the government, the Democrats, the progressives treat them as bad guys who should not be allowed to honor their contract rights or defend or protect their own property. At least one, it can't make it through the House because the Democrats don't have the, forget the Republicans obstructing it. The Democrats don't have the votes to get it done. And the Supreme Court said no one else can do it. Congress itself has to do it. So landlords hopefully will be protected. Now, I need to tell you that you need a new cell phone carrier because I found one for you, and they are conservative. They're Christian. They're conservative. They give donations to pro-life causes. When's the last time you heard a cell phone carrier giving donations of profit to First or to Second Amendment groups, to pro-life causes? They're not only not woke, they're conservative. It's Patriot Mobile. You're a patriot. You should have Patriot Mobile as your carrier. Now, listen, they can roll your phone number over. You can take your existing phone number. You can get a new one if you want. They make it very easy. Their coverage, they use the main telco carrier's coverage and antennas. So their coverage is Patriot Mobile's coverage. So they got nationwide. I can tell you they got nationwide coverage, even up in the mountains. And you can carry you can port your phone over if it's unlocked. You can take your number. They get great discounts for first responders, for veterans. If you've got a large family and you got kids, this is where I'm starting to get, where you've got kids who have cell phones and you need a package, they can give you a good deal. What you do is you go to patriotmobile.com/Eric. Patriotmobile.com/Eric, E-R-I-C-K. You can call them at 972-PATRIOT and talk to a live, actual human being, 972-PATRIOT. Or just go to patriotmobile.com/Eric. Roll over today. Now, you roll over today because you're with a company that shares your values. You're with a company that has great coverage. You're with a company that can save you some money. And you're with a company that's not going to go wobbly in a time of mass wobbliness among major corporations. They're not going to go woke all of a sudden. These are good people, a great company, patriotmobile.com/Eric. Shop with companies. Do business with companies who share your values. Patriot Mobile shares your values. They should be your cell phone carrier. It is me, and I am delighted to have you here. It's too late for you to call in. In fact, my call screening producer has already left the call screening program, I see. So there's another problem that the Democrats have. The Black Caucus, the Congressional Black Caucus, they're in a freefall meltdown. See, the media, I do have to give a level of credit to the mainstream media for suddenly delving into this. There's a special election. I believe it is tomorrow, Nina Turner versus Chantel Brown, and it is in Northeast Ohio. Chantel Brown is the candidate of the Congressional Black Caucus. She is backed by Joyce Betty of Ohio. She is backed by Benny Thompson of Mississippi. She is backed by Gregory Meeks of New York. And most importantly, backed by Jim Clyburn of South Carolina. Nina Turner is a bomb-throwing progressive who inspired Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to run for office when Nina Turner threw in with Bernie Sanders and went on the campaign trail for him. She is an avowed socialist and thinks that the Congressional Black Caucus is sometimes too accommodationist to leadership, and she's ready to blow it all up. The Democrats are having an internal fight that's going to shape the direction of the Democratic Party. And you so rarely hear about this from the media. I'm shocked they're covering this at all. The moment this race is over, though, you know, they'll go back to covering the war on the GOP. The fact of the matter is the Democratic Party is beginning the slow crack up. The Telegraph in London, you would note it is not an American newspaper. The Telegraph in London has a big story that the Biden administration is sending Kamala Harris out of the country now on a global tour to rehabilitate herself because her poll numbers are so damaged. They themselves are having trouble getting on the same page, getting voters to like Kamala Harris. They got to do something because Biden doesn't want to run a second term. He may be forced to, but Joe Biden is realizing he's not up for a second term. And those around him are beginning to whisper about it, but they got to get Kamala up to snuff. And having these internal fights in the Democratic Party are problematic. What do I always say? Events. Events change things. The dominance of the Democratic Party has always been a media fiction, and events are starting to expose the crack up of the Democratic Party.